All right, if you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Jesus has been revealing increasingly who he is, that he is God in the flesh. And as Mr. Andrew pointed out yesterday, the passage just before concludes with the man from whom the demons had gone out being told by Jesus, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. That guy got it. The demons had even confessed it. And that is, we know that you are Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. So now in verse 40 and following, Luke 8, beginning in verse 40, "Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me.' Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.' While Jesus was still speaking, someone from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, came and said, 'Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore.' Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, 'Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed.' When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. 'Stop wailing,' Jesus said. 'She is not dead, but asleep.' They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, 'My child, get up.' Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Today we're going to see two main things in this passage. First of all, Jesus cares about all kinds of people. Jesus cares about all kinds of people. And secondly, the fact that Jesus does more for us than we even dare to ask. Jesus does more for us than we even dare to ask. Those are the two key points. Well, let's look at it in the text. First of all, when Jesus returned, there's a crowd. Everybody's eager to see him. And it's not just because they want to hear him teach. They want the healings. They want to be delivered from demons. They want their lives to be changed. They want Jesus to do stuff for them. But there's one person in the crowd who stands out in everyone's mind. His name is Jairus, and he is an influential man, a ruler of the synagogue. He is a man of wealth. He is a man of influence. He is a man that is well respected. And he comes and he implores Jesus because his daughter is dying. And he knows Jesus has the power to heal her. People are not wondering if Jesus can do it. They are just hoping Jesus will do it. And so when this man begs Jesus, people wait to see what Jesus is going to say. And Jesus says, let's go. And starts going with him. Now, prior to this, you'll recall, Jesus had been told by someone, just say the word. But here, Jesus is going to the home where this little girl is lying. And the crowd is not only so large, but it is so rowdy, if you will, that it says Jesus was almost crushed by the crowd. People were bumping into each other. Everybody's scrambling. Everybody wants to be close to Jesus. I've seen a few times in my life where crowds got like this around somebody. It wasn't me that they were being that way about, but around other people. I've seen when people just absolutely kind of made a rush for Billy Graham or for some sports figures or in one case for a musician. People just so eager to see that person and to be up close. And that's why security is needed by folks like that, in order to kind of keep people at bay. Well, Jesus' disciples were trying. Peter is going to speak up and say, Lord, everybody's bumping into you. You know, what do you mean somebody touched you? But the crowd is pressing against Jesus. And it says, again, look at it in the text. They almost crushed him. Verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. I mean, this is a problem. There are people who get crushed and killed in concerts and stuff, because it just gets totally out of control. And there was a woman there in the crowd, nameless, faceless. Nobody's noticing her, but she's on a mission. She's one of the people who's trying to get close to Jesus, not just so that they can be close to Jesus, but because she is desperate to be healed. She has a problem that she's had for 12 years. She's been to all kinds of doctors. We know that from another gospel, Mark. She's spent all of her money trying to get medical care. And no one, as Luke records, has been able to heal her. Nobody. But she believes Jesus can. She not only believes Jesus has the power, she believes that all she has to do is touch the edge of his garment. If I can just touch the edge of his garment, that'll be enough to make the connection with him and receive power. I don't need his attention. I don't need for him to look at me. I don't really want to talk about my problem. I just hope that if I touch the edge of his garment, then I'll be healed. I believe it. Now, was there any basis for this kind of thought? Well, yeah, not only cultural, but in the last book in the Old Testament, one of the promises that is made about when Messiah comes is that there will be healing in his wings. And the word for wings there is one that was also used to describe the edge of the garment. And so that was part of the image of Messiah's glory that people longed for. She was recognizing Jesus, no doubt, as the Messiah, as the one promised in the Old Testament. And she is longing to receive that promised healing. She doesn't come as others have and say, hey, here's my problem, would you please help me? She says, if I can just touch the edge of his garment, I'll be healed. And it turns out she was right. According to your faith, be it unto you. What she hoped for, what she longed for, what no one else could do for her, she received from Jesus as she reached out in faith just to touch the edge of his robe. But then everything goes haywire. Because instead of continuing on in this urgent matter of getting to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, Jesus calls the whole parade to a halt. Okay? I mean, they're moving along and they're moving quickly and everybody's pressing in and everybody's jostling him, and all of a sudden, Jesus goes like this and says, "Who touched me?" Well, now this seems crazy to the people around him. And the way Jesus said it was such that people who'd been bumping into him denied it. Okay? When you get that, the crowd was pressing against him. And the disciples are apparently trying to, you know, keep things under control, keep people back. He's Messiah, man, you know. Stay back. This is Jesus. You want to give him some space. But Jesus will not go on. And Peter says, almost by way of rebuke, "Lord, everybody's bumping into you. Everybody's pressing against you. All the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus knows what he's doing, and he knows what he's saying. And Jesus says, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Jesus could feel that a divine transaction had taken place. He knew that this wasn't just a touch from somebody bumping into him. This was a touch of faith. This was someone reaching out to receive. And Jesus was aware. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from the Father's notice. If you think that you're just going to squeak by and God won't even notice what you're up to, think again. Think again. "Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it altogether." God knows our thoughts. God knows our motives. Certainly, God knows our actions.
"Well, I don't think God has time to notice what's going on in my life."
Well, you're wrong. God has infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom, infinite intelligence. It's not as if he's busy over here in this corner of the universe and didn't have time to notice this morning what was going on in Syria. He didn't have time to notice what was going on in our courts in the U.S. Didn't have time to notice what was happening at Christopher House. He didn't have time to notice what was happening in your heart. God knows everything. He knows everything. He knows what's going on, everywhere, all the time. So don't think that somehow you can just kind of do your thing and God won't notice. He knows how many hairs are on top of your head right now. Right now. He knows everything. So, Jesus waits. Peter says, "Come on. You know, we're on a mission here. There's a little girl who's dying. Doesn't that seem important? Isn't that more important than who touched you? Everybody was bumping against you. Everybody was pressing against you. Come on. This is an opportunity to do something for a very influential person. This is an opportunity to make a really good impression in this community. Come on, Jesus." Jesus will not proceed. And when the woman realized that she could not escape his notice, then she came forward. She waited. Don't you know her heart was beating? Does she know she's been healed? Because Jesus wasn't the only one who felt something. Jesus felt power go forth from him. She felt power come into her and heal her. But now her heart is beating and she's short of breath and she's thinking, I don't want to tell anybody this, because, you see, she wasn't supposed to be in the crowd that day by law. She had a health problem that made her ceremonially unclean, and if she got up against somebody else and touched somebody else, that was supposed to make them unclean too. And so when she's having this problem, she's supposed to be in isolation. But she'd been having this problem for 12 years. How long have you had your problem? Some of you aren't even 12 years old. Okay? Imagine 12 years of suffering, 12 years of isolation, 12 years of watching all of her finances squandered on physicians who couldn't help. We'll try this. We'll try this. Well, maybe if you try this, well, maybe you ought to try this. Nothing worked. But now she comes forward to tell something very personal, very intimate, very embarrassing, from her standpoint, no doubt shameful. But she not only says, this was my problem, she told how instantly she had been healed, verse 47. You see that? She knew. She says, and now I'm healed. I know. She believed. And she believed correctly. So Jesus said to her in verse 48, something that he doesn't say to anyone else in Scripture. He calls her personally, daughter. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Here's where Jesus does more. Jesus does more than she was expecting. She wanted physical healing. Jesus gave her a relationship. She just thought if she could touch the edge of his garment, but Jesus says, no, I want you to know that I know you and that I care about you and that you are my daughter. Wow. What could be better than to be a child of God? God made this woman who had suffered for 12 long years not just physically whole, but he spoke healing to her emotions, her mind, to her relationship. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, shalom, wholeness, wellness, everything as it should be. That's beautiful. That's what we mean about Jesus giving us more than we dare to ask. But the other thing that was going on here was that this little girl who'd been dying is now reported dead. As Jesus is talking with this woman, there are people on their way from Jairus' house to give Jairus the sad news. You don't need to bother the teacher anymore. It's too late. Your daughter is dead. And Jesus, seeing that grief-stricken father, says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Let's go. Well, why would Jesus want to go to the house of a man who he just failed to help? I mean, this guy said, please come. My little girl is dying. He fell at Jesus' feet in verse 41, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Here was a little girl who had known 12 years of relative luxury. She had been in a wealthy man's home. She had been the adored daughter for 12 years. Now suddenly she's dying. Her situation for the last 12 years is so completely different from this woman with the issue of blood. One had known 12 years of sorrow. The other one 12 years of happy childhood. One had been isolated from people. The other one had been embraced by people. Jesus cared for both, didn't he? Just like he cares for you. You may be young or old. You may be rich. You may be poor. You may be popular. You may be lonely. By the way, you may be popular and lonely. But whatever your circumstances, Jesus cares. Jesus has compassion. And Jesus knows everything about your situation. Nothing hidden from Him. This woman who had the issue of blood, in order to receive all that Jesus had for her, couldn't just slip in and get her healing and go away. She had to come and talk about what was going on. I've seen in my life many, many times where people struggled for years with problems that they were ashamed to name. They were afraid to say what was really going on. They were afraid to talk about it. It was just too emotional. It was too upsetting. It was too embarrassing. And they just couldn't say what was going on. And in order for them to receive the full healing that God had for them, they had to come to a point where they were willing to talk about it. In every 12-step program, you will learn that denial is a major bondage for people with addictions. Okay. No, I don't really have that big a problem. Well, no, I mean, I know sometimes I do things I shouldn't do, but I don't. It's not really a big problem with me. I mean, I've known people who've had a problem. I found a guy one time lying in the front of his car after he'd wrapped it around a tree. I went to see him in the hospital the next day. And I asked him if he had ever been to AA. He said, I went one time. He said, I'll never go back. This is just a bunch of drunks. This guy was a drunk. But he couldn't admit that. That's those people. Okay? He doesn't have that kind of problem. He just drinks a lot sometimes and loses control of his automobile and nearly kills himself. Okay? But he's not like them. Denial is a big problem, no matter what your addiction, even if it's self-righteousness. Okay? Who wants to say, yes, my name is Jim, I'm a recovering Pharisee? It's just hard. But if you want to get free, you got to be able to talk about what's going on. You got to be able to say, I've got a problem with this. I have a struggle in this area. I need help. Well, Jesus cares, whatever your problem, Jesus cares. He's compassionate. He is kind. He is gracious. He is full of compassion. So now, he says to this father, when the bad news comes, don't be afraid. Just believe. And so they continue toward the house. Jesus telling him, she will be healed. How can she be healed if she's dead? How's that possible? When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he didn't let anyone go in with him. Now, why? Well, he not only didn't let anyone go in with him, he didn't want them afterwards to tell what had happened. Jesus wasn't doing this to put on a show. Jesus was doing this because he actually had compassion on this little girl and her family. Certainly, many of the miracles that are done in Scripture are clearly identified as having been done as a witness, as a sign. This was not one of those. This was a beautiful picture of the amazing compassion and mercy of God. Because Jesus keeps the audience away. He lets his three closest friends come with him into the room, along with the mom and dad. The mourners are doing their job. There were people who were literally paid to come and weep and wail at funerals. They were like singers at a wedding, part of the program. Okay? You have someone who comes and they create the proper atmosphere. And in this case, it's weeping and wailing. And that's how they were able to switch to laughter when they heard Jesus saying, "She's not really dead. She's just sleeping." Has he not seen her? Who is he to walk in here and tell us what's going on? Do you really think that you know your situation better than God does? I've said many times that I catch myself praying as if I'm explaining things to God. Do any of you ever do that? Do you ever try and, you know, kind of, as you're talking with God, you want to be sure He gets the full picture. As if we have the full picture and God does not. Let me tell you something. You don't know a thimbleful about your own situation compared to what God knows about your situation. God knows everything. God remembers stuff about you that you've forgotten. And God knows your future. God knows your future. You don't. He does. God knows all about you. And so when God says something about you, you better believe it. Because God always tells the truth. And when Jesus said, and He did, He spoke to the mourners. And He said, "Stop wailing. She is not dead, but asleep." He told them to change their behavior based on what He knew, which contradicted what they thought they knew. Now, humanly speaking, from a purely human standpoint, she was dead. But from a divine standpoint, this is very temporary. What you mean by that is that she's not breathing anymore and her heart is stopped. Okay? But God says you're not dead, you're not dead. God says she's just sleeping, she's just sleeping. It's a long time between breaths and heartbeats. Okay? But Jesus tells them, you need to change your behavior based on what I'm telling you about the situation. Guess what God's still saying to us today? You need to change your behavior based on God's word. You can't just go by what you see and what you think and what you feel and what everybody else is doing. You have to go on the basis of what God says. Let me tell you one of the things God says to His children today. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us.
Oh, my life is so hard. I just feel like I can't be expected to have a positive attitude because, after all, my life is hard. I went this morning to get my cereal from the cabinet. The kind I like was all gone. I had to eat this other stuff that I just really don't like at all. It was terrible. Gross. I think it's gross.
Aren't our problems awful? I was in the airport when the flight was delayed and people around me were complaining like crazy, and I just made a little comment out loud that caught a few people's attention. I said, "Well, isn't it nice that no one's shooting at us and there are no potholes in the runway?" And you know, it's something to think about. Because there are people who are trying to get out of places and there are bullets flying and bombs falling, and I'd rather just wait about another hour and a half for the next flight and then get on to a climate-controlled aircraft and fly down a smooth runway and take off. I don't think my problems are that big. Understand? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. If my plane is delayed, it's because God has a plan. Right? He has a plan. It's for our good. He's working all things together for our good.
Yeah, but does that include a stomach virus?
Yes.
Oh, I don't see how that could possibly be the will of God.
Well, I don't always understand why God does what He does the way He does, but I know this. God is working everything together for my good because I love Him and I've been called according to His purpose. So I don't have to understand it. I just need to believe and obey. Jesus told them, stop wailing. She's not dead. She's just asleep. So don't look at the circumstances and base your behavior on that. Base your behavior on the Word of God. Do what He tells you in His Word. They laughed at Him, knowing that she was dead. Do you see that, verse 53? They knew they were wrong. But He took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. What a beautiful thing. He calls her His child. My child, get up. Her spirit returned. Now, it wouldn't say her spirit returned if it weren't for the fact that her spirit had left. Okay? But now, her spirit, her breath, returned. And at once, she stood up. And they're all going, and Jesus says, give her something to eat. Now, why would He say that? Well, for a few reasons. Number one, she apparently needed some food. Okay? Secondly, Jesus wanted to demonstrate she's not a ghost. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead? And they saw Him there in that room? And they thought, this can't be real. This must be a ghost, a spirit. Jesus said, here, give me something to eat. I'll show you. Okay? Jesus is demonstrating the reality of this. She's a little girl. She's just been really, really sick. And now she's alive. Give her something to eat. I love that. Jesus didn't say,
thank you. Thank you very much. I hope everyone sees this. Now, tell people I'll be doing a show at 9 o'clock.
Jesus says, I don't want you to tell anybody about this. You give her something to eat, and you keep quiet. Now imagine trying to keep quiet about what had just happened. Imagine that you're one of the mourners outside the room, and out comes the mom and the dad and this little girl. Do we still get paid? You know, we're real happy for you and all. Don't get us wrong. This is great. You got your daughter back. But I bet they stopped wailing. And I bet they stopped laughing. Because this little girl was dead. Until God said otherwise. They knew she was dead. Jesus said, no, just sleeping. Our perspective on death is different than God's. He's right, we're wrong. Death never gets the final word. Jesus is stronger than death. So, if you're young or old, rich or poor, popular or all alone, Jesus stands ready to do more for you than you dare to ask. He doesn't just want to heal your body. He wants you to be His child. Believe Him. Don't be afraid. Believe Him. and experience His power and His grace.